WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling. In the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our final episode of the year, possibly the final podcast. Well, unless there's a Raw post show tomorrow, you never know.
Highly doubtful.
Highly doubtful? Okay, this is the last time you'll hear us this year.
All together.
All together as one.
Yeah, you might hear us individually, but, you know. Depending on which cast member that is, it might be a video, a podcast, or breaking into your home.
You never know.
It just depends.
It just depends on the time of the day, the mood.
That's what makes us fun.
It does.
Unless Omega's trying to hide a body where there's already a body, and then he just gets all frustrated.
Hey, I keep very good track of where my bodies are.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you even know where all your body spots are?
All 47?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was like 57. Are you sure it's 47?
Yeah. I'm positive.
Okay. The real question is if they're all full.
Well, see, the trick is that you bury the body vertically, so it takes up very little space.
Good to know.
This is Omega. The be-all, end-all, and possible mass murderer of the WTR network.
This is why he only talks to us on Sundays.
I know.
Once a week is enough for me. Despite somehow getting dragged on last night.
Oh, you had fun last night. Admit it.
I had fun. Jeez.
Finish the introductions.
Had to tune into a UFC event just to know what the hell you were talking about.
It had blood? That should have sated you.
I am not. I am not just like this barbarian that needs blood in order to be satisfied with something.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of, that's Lindsay.
Hi. I do need blood. Thank you.
I have no response to that. And of course, as usual, as always, for the final time this year, Mr. Tim Stein, who's on mute.
Anyway, welcome everybody to Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by TweakedAudio.com. I didn't get an introduction, but we can't hear you, Tim. He's probably trying to, you know, talk as we were going through all this, and we couldn't hear a single word he said.
Rock, I don't like introing you. That way you're this ominous voice from upon high.
Right. This is true.
Don't boost his ego any more than it already has been.
No, keep going. I like this. I like this. No one else does it, so come on.
Oh, bullshit. Nobody else strokes your ego.
All right.
You lie. You lie so badly, sir.
This is true.
There. I proclaimed you the ominous voice of the network. Merry Christmas.
Well, it's not like you called him the god of the network.
Oh. Do that. We don't need any egos.
I'm the be-all and all here.
Yeah, we don't need any more egos around here.
It's gotten us pretty far so far.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't we all have egos anyway?
Okay, can you still not hear me?
We hear you.
We can hear you fine.
All right, I'm just not being acknowledged, so I didn't know, you bastards.
We did acknowledge you.
Answered you.
Sounded like you were still talking to Lindsay, for Christ's sakes. I'm in a bad mood.
Okay, so from now on, when I talk to Lindsay, I will mention her tits in every aspect so you know who I'm talking to.
Oh, I can't talk about Lindsay's breasts.
No. You're not allowed to the contract on them.
I'm not allowed to. It's just, you know, I've been cut off of everybody else's boobs except for one pair.
Well, then talk about their breasts.
I don't think she'd appreciate that. But, of course, she's not listening, so how would you know, right?
Unless she goes back and listens to the archives.
Well, then I'm not going to. Just in case. Because I know Rock won't edit it out. Because he likes me in difficulty for some reason. He's like Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Oh, no, he's not, Nancy.
Well, you're sure as hell not, so don't even try it. And what the hell? Did you get a new mic or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because you actually sound like almost normal, for Christ's sake. And I'm like, what the fuck? You start talking, I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I debuted this last night and got a three-way simultaneous holy shit.
Well, we can actually tell what he sounds like now.
There you go. See, now I'm the day late and the dollar short. Holy shit. What the hell? How come I can hear myself talking?
That's your shit, Tim.
I know it's my shit, but don't touch my shit. Leave my shit alone. I'll sue you. There, it's fixed, all right? Back on.
There you go.
What a night.
What a night, yeah. But
no,
yeah.
I meant last night.
I know, we're going to talk about that. I got a clip lined up, too, to play.
Oh, shit, now I'm scared. You're going to play that clip that you got probably clipped from when I was talking, and it went over the internet, and it was about when Sly said something about me giving away money?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, you bastard. You play that, and you're dead.
Why? I have the clip. I have the video of it.
No! We do not need to see video of Tim Stein in the ring talking about being a cheap bastard giving away $80 when it was supposed to be $85.
Wait. Does the clip start with him getting in
the ring? You couldn't dig up a fiver?
Oh, no. You weren't watching last night, Omega? We streamed Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's New Year's Evil last night on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I was watching. I'm the only one who caught the joke that was directed to us.
Wait a minute. You had to point that out to Sir Rock and the actual for real half Jew on this network?
I didn't have sound on the entire time. I told you
this. Oh, yeah. You've always got an excuse.
I told you this, didn't I? Yes, I did. Told you this last night.
It was... Oh, God damn, it was fun last night.
Yes, if you missed it, we aired Canadian All-Pros New Year's Evil live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah.
Featuring Johnny Devine in action in the main event.
Oh, man, what a main event that was. And, of course, we're working on making next month's show more readily visible, I guess you could call it.
This is where we got to start with Omega. So Omega had some thoughts.
Uh-oh.
Let's start
from the beginning.
Let's preface it with this. Well, for starters, the camera reminding us how much memory was left on your SD cards was not helpful.
Okay, so that showed up? Okay,
yeah.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, that you know, big gray window saying, now switching to card B.
It actually said, now switching to card B?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn, that wasn't supposed to go out there. But yeah, it set to automatically switch to the second card. They're 8 gigabyte SD cards inside the video camera.
Yeah.
And I had it set to high def.
Yeah, I've got the same relay recording thing on mine.
Okay. But it shouldn't have gone out on the monitor.
It did.
I'm mad that it did.
Oh, and before we continue, Lindsay won the pool for last night where there would be 2 dropouts of the connection.
Tim, I'll tell you what probably happened. When you hook something up, when you hook up a camera like that to to another display device, that what you're doing is not transmitting the feed. You're transmitting what's on the viewfinder, which would give you all the notifications as well as all the footage.
Well, yeah, but the camera has a setting where you can have that on the monitor or not on the monitor, and I had it set to be not on the monitor when I first hooked everything up.
Hmm.
Might have got reset.
Now, let me ask you, is that the only thing that showed up was now switching to card B?
There's also a memory full on one, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously that's going to show up on the monitor no matter what. I'm going to have to probably step down the quality then. Just one. It'll still be high def, but 720 instead of 1080.
Can you zoom it in a little bit, too? Because it was, like, really hard to, to make some stuff out.
Well, it was kind of hard to make out, but I understand why Tim blocked it the way he did, so you could see the edges of the ring, especially for the over-the-top battle royal. So you could actually see people going over the top on both sides.
Well, you are mostly correct, Sir Omega. Yeah, but that was also the hard cam. And of course, when I make put the shows together as a DVD or whatever, it's a lot more, clear, and you can see what's going on a lot better.
Right, right.
Than you can when it's streaming on the Wild Talk Radio, just in TV thing. And, like if you clicked it and went full screen, I'm pretty sure you guys didn't because you're busy Skype chatting.
We were multi-watching.
Yeah,
yeah,
you could
we were
make,
busy watching UFC, too.
Yeah, you were able to you'd be able to see it better if you had it in full screen.
Mm. A little bit, not as much.
My bigger concern was how much higher could you get the camera?
I probably could have raised it a little more.
Okay, I'll tell you the big problem you had with it was very hard to tell who was at the far side of the ring and who was at the near side of the ring.
Okay.
There was an absolute lack of depth because it was a straight-on shot. If you could actually get the camera up high, like when you see on WWE TV, and you have a diagonal perspective down into the ring, so you can see the back ropes and you can see the front ropes.
Yeah, some of my limitations last night were the fact that I had 2 camera people that didn't show up.
That explains something.
So I had to leave the camera. Nobody was monitoring it or babying it because what usually happens, what I try to get set up for, I have somebody walking around the ring with camera number 2 so they can get the, the close shots.
Right.
And then,
yeah,
I have somebody.
Yeah, we saw Plaid Guy.
Yeah, Plaid Guy was actually one of the camera people, as a matter of fact.
Here's a note. Plaid he guy. Should actually wear black.
Yeah. this is true.
Nope, number
don't
one,
stand out. We don't want to see you.
Which we clearly could.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started naming people because we didn't know who anybody was, so we just started naming people.
Yeah. We also had iPad guy.
You had a guy walking around taking pictures
like
with his
dead
big
center,
ass.
Like dead center in the crowd was a guy standing up and holding up his iPad trying to record the whole thing.
Yeah. And then there's Mediocre Red.
Yeah, there's
from Battle Royale.
We couldn't make out his name on the microphone, so we were just making up alternatives for Amazing Red.
Mediocre Red?
Who was all in red, Tim?
Who was all in red?
I don't know. That's why we're asking you.
That's why we were making up names for him.
I'm trying to remember.
Was it Dan? No, it wasn't Dan.
No, it wasn't Superfly.
That's who I originally thought it was, but I
No. Superfly wasn't all decked out in red. He hasn't been decked out in red in years. Who the fuck was wearing red last night?
You should know this, Tim. Come on now.
Oh, did he have a black tank top?
No, he was full body suit in red.
Hmm. I'm not sure. I have to go back and review now. Damn.
I think he came in third or fourth in the battle royal.
I want to say he was out before the final four.
No, came in fourth.
Oh, it came in fourth, yeah.
Hmm. Well, okay, I'm not able to figure that out right now, but I will at some point in time.
But yeah, he was either mediocre red or above average red.
Okay, and what about him?
No, that's we were just naming him.
We were just trying to figure out who he was.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Oh, wasn't that Ryan Strife?
You tell us. You're the CEO.
Again,
yeah.
We're asking you for answers.
Well, does this sound familiar? And now entering the ring from someplace in Japan, Ryan Strife.
It was hard to tell because the same way the video footage was getting compressed, so was the audio.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it was.
I'm going to have to increase the RAM on the computer I used.
Yeah, that might help.
I'll go to 2 gigs. I'll get another 2 gigs for it.
There you go. But, yeah, but yeah. All in all, it was a decent experience watching it.
Well, next show will definitely be a lot better, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why. The camera will be behind myself and Vinny Fever sitting on the stage.
So you can actually see it.
And so it's going to be a frick of a lot closer, and well, I'll put it up higher so it actually looks down a little bit more on the ring.
That would help.
The only problem that with that, and this is the thing I hate about it, is when they talk on the microphone and stuff, you're going to be looking at their backs because they'll be facing the crowd. You'll see the crowd, right? But when the wrestlers are in the ring cutting promos and stuff like that on the mic, then their backs will be to the camera.
That's not too bad. If you can see them, you can make out what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we enjoyed the show. We had fun.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
Always like seeing Randy.
Oh man, that was so off the hook, that main event. That was unbelievable.
What was the line? Was it you, Omega, or was it Lindsay who the line about him getting into the ring?
He kept molesting
the middle rope.
Oh yeah, no, that's Randy's thing. He has sex with anything he can get his hands on when he goes into the ring. He dry humps everything.
We could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Johnny. I'm sure he needed a shower afterwards.
Yeah. Well, actually, Ravenous Randy got in trouble once at Stampede Wrestling event.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, this must have been late 2006. He was told, don't ever do that at a family show again. And so I have never seen him dry hump anything until last night. Afterwards. Since.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, he was rocking a much bigger mohawk than I'm used to. So I figure, ooh, he must be in his mating season.
his hair has definitely grown a bit. So.
But you mentioned it being a family show, Tim.
Yes, it was.
Didn't you have some awesome families there who made belts?
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I go out there, and they're the first people there waiting, and they were there like 20 minutes before we even actually said the doors would officially be open for it,
mm-hmm.
for the show. And they were just, in the lobby of the Royal Canadian Legion. Now, down in the United States, you guys, do you have like a place for war vets to hang out and have beer?
Yeah, we've got American Legions, VFWs, that type of thing.
Okay, so this is the exact same thing. And, like in these places, it's disrespectful if you don't take off your hat, shit like that. They've got all these different rules and stuff like that. But you can get drunk, it's great. Anyway, there's
as we clearly could tell when you said, the bar is open!
Yeah, there you go. But, they're sitting in the front, just where you walk in. It's a great big huge foyer, and there's like, dedications and memorials to all of the soldiers that fought in all the previous wars and stuff like that. And of course, in Canada, World War One is a really big deal,
mm-hmm.
and everything that happened in World War One is a really big deal because of the Canadian contribution to that particular conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I know for a fact Americans aren't subject to when it comes to war history and stuff like that, but. The Canadian Armed Forces played a very big pivotal role in the victory in World War One, and of course, naturally, you walk into these places, and that's the first thing you see. So, they're hanging out with all of these things, and I take a look at these guys, and I have to tell you, they've got to be Canadian Pro Wrestling's biggest fans. There's like five or six kids, their two parents, and like a grandparent, a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every single one of these kids, and this is just what I think is just the absolute most awesome damn thing, each and every single one of these kids spent an entire month creating, not just designing or drawing, but they actually built Canadian All-Pro Wrestling title belts.
Wow.
That's dedication. Pretty cool. And, you know.
Rock, I sent you a picture of one of the belts. Do you have that handy?
It's up on your screen right now. See, I was waiting to put it up there.
Thank you. There. And I looked at this thing, and like this is like a full-size belt, as you can tell by the little baby in the middle. That baby's about a month old. But you take a look at that belt, and these kids all had belts along that same line. Now, is that not a cool-looking belt?
That is a cool-looking belt.
And I took a look at that thing and said, you know, I'm thinking if I should come up with the money to commission somebody to actually build that for my world title, world heavyweight title.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Because, you know, that's sharp. That's the sharpest indie belt I have seen. I don't know how long.
I would, but then you would have to give them royalties and stuff.
Well, no, we changed it around just a tiny little bit, right? We
change a color too.
Well, yeah. Still, instead of using the CAW with the maple leaf in the middle, we put the CAW logo properly.
Right.
Then instead of the off-white strap, we use black leather.
I kind of like it with the white, honestly. It's different.
Yeah. But
yeah, the white's kind of sexy.
Yeah, I kind of like the white. Yeah, I would fully spell out champion. Because I get Cena title vibes off of that.
Yeah, no, I understand what you thought. You know, world champ is here. But no, I agree with you on that one. That would be shrunk down a little bit so we can make it champion. Champion. And Ken Kinson says maybe red leather for the strap. You know, maybe we could do red and black. Or red, white, and black. Because, you know, that's the color for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, red, white, and black. The official colors of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. But,
I would stick with one color for the strap.
See, that gets me... Jeez, that gets things churning in my head.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll let you get creative later on.
But I was going to say, I would use the red for, like, kind of like what they do on the inside of the world title, where they use the red as the inside leather. Or
the back.
Use the black on. Yeah, use the black on the inside.
Yeah, that's a felt backing. So.
Yeah. Well, what I would probably do is it's rather than white to go with a silver for the plates rather than gold to get that color in, and then either use the red for the strap and the black for the lettering, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. But I know just the guy I can talk to who would actually help to create the panels, and then I just have to find the leather. So. But, it just blew my mind that these kids all made belts. Of course, naturally, the younger you get, the more you can tell, right? Like, but they were all pretty intricate. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling apparently now has a United States Championship belt, too. one of the kids made a U.S. title.
Go, kids!
They know where the true champs should be.
Yo, get over yourself, you prick. Anyway, this is my moment. Shut up. Quit hogging the limelight. J.A.D.
Fuck you.
Anyway, Nancy. Anyway, it was just really awesome. We took pictures of all of them. We're going to put them on the Canadian All-Pro website as soon as I get the disc of all the pictures and such. But
Rock gets done redoing it.
Yeah, he told me today he was tweaking, and I'm like, I was in a really bad mood, and he says, you know, I'm going to tweak it. Would you be really pissed off? And I'm like, it depends on how you tweak it. But
I've seen it. It looks good.
I know him. He's a lot like I was when I first started doing all this stuff like 8 years ago. I couldn't leave shit alone for more than two weeks at a time before I was, you know, tweaking it.
Hey.
You know, he's at that point. So.
This site, I haven't tweaked your site in about a year and a half. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, we did a 50-50 draw last night, and one lucky guy won $85.
Yes, but how did you get in the ring, Tim?
Let me finish. Let me finish.
Because that's what we
one guy. You did. We'll get there. Shut up and let me talk. One guy won $85, and I brought in one of the kids with his title belt, and had him show it all off, and I told him, you know, like, you know, show it like you're a wrestler, like you're the champion, and he did that, and the whole crowd just went crazy for him. Mm-hmm. It was really awesome. I mean, he's just like starstruck, doze eyes, you know, deer in the headlights in the ring, and it was just really cool. But I was about to climb into the ring normally, and then I let it slide, and he said something off microphone. So I went and I laid down on the apron, and then I yelled up at him, "How do I get into these things?" And then I stood up.
And then fell into it.
No, no. Somebody in the crowd yelled, "Go over the top rope!" And I went, "Over the top?" And so I made a big whole production like I was going to grab the top rope and actually jump over it. And just slid through underneath the top rope. That's how I entered the ring. And you're going to see it now because that prick is showing video. Tell me you're not playing the audio.
No, you would hear the audio?
No, well, yeah, on the, okay.
Mason Spug want to have a conversation with you about how you enter and exit a ring. Just saying.
Why, they didn't like how I did it?
No, because, yeah.
No.
Because, one, I'm going to hear half of what you're saying, so.
What's
they
that?
They were critiquing your form.
Oh. Well, I was just having a good time. It was a good crowd. They were all hot for the show, and I was having a lot of fun.
We could tell.
Yeah.
They were having fun, and they made me have fun, and God damn if my business partner, Vinny Fever, didn't actually kind of sort of make me do a double take.
And then almost give you a heart attack.
Well, yeah, we won't talk about the heart attack. The double take is we actually made the crowd cheer for somebody who's a legendary heel on the indie scene in Alberta. And it was absolutely unbelievable. And I'm talking, of course, the Frenchman, Andre Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, please tell me you're done with this video. God damn it, it's still going. And Omega's microphone is so unbelievably sharp and clear, we can hear him typing away a mile a minute and sounds louder than when he talks.
Yeah, I know. He needs to get the rig for it, to rig it up so it's hanging above him.
Yeah, because there's no way I can get the mic closer to me to turn down the sensitivity.
I can't believe that you're actually showing this and embarrassing me.
Oh, don't you worry.
You showed it last night. Why are
That's different. Because tonight he's showing it specifically to be able to pick on me.
But we're giving you free promotion on the show.
We're showing people what they missed.
Exactly.
Hey, yeah, but at the end of the day, it's still my website, and so I could give myself free promotion to all the people listening. I'm sure everybody tuned in right now doesn't give a rat's ass about an independent wrestling promotion that happens in Calgary if they don't live in Alberta.
There's a comment that could be made right now. So, I'm going to be quiet and just play a sound. Oh, forgot about this. Yeah, I should skip over that part just a little bit because you want to announce that. So I'll skip over
what?
That. Skipping over that part, we'll announce that.
You're trying to get to the part about me talking about giving away money, aren't you, prick?
No, that's announcing what you're doing next. We'll get to that.
He's fast-forwarding to the shout-out you gave us on the show.
No, I'm not. I wanted to get to the point where they said they don't want to hear you talking anymore.
yeah, figured. Well, the thing about... And there's more noises from Omega's magic microphone.
I can't get away with anything anymore.
No, you can't, so quit masturbating during the show.
I can't help it.
I mean, just because you're talking to Lindsay, you're not actually seeing her tits. Not right now, not live.
He can visualize them. He's very creative.
Okay, it's probably more information than anybody.
Okay, here's the little secret. The toy geek plays with toys when his hands are bored.
And not the fun kind of toys, the plastic kid toys.
Keep my mouth shut.
Hey, any toy... Hey.
Yeah, let's see you recover from that.
Any toy can be an adult toy if you apply the same rule of real estate. Location, location, location.
Well done.
But, all in all, Tim, it was a good night.
Oh, it was a fun night.
And you should announce to everyone, when is the next show?
We are looking at February 2nd for the next show back at the Royal Canadian Legion.
I thought it was in January.
No. We set a tentative date for January 26th. Turns out the Legion's booked for a birthday bash that was not canceled. That's why we kept all night saying tentative.
Good thing I didn't play that part. Anyway, that's what I was skipping over. The date part.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the next Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Show, February 2nd, which is only a week after what we were wanting to do, so it's not a big deal. It gives us an extra week lead time to pack that place. It was a really good crowd, and we figure, you know, I think we found our, we have found our home for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling for the next year.
Looks like a good venue. Seems like people were enjoying themselves, so.
Yeah. Good. Oh, and the guy that won the $80, $85.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm multitasking. During the intermission, I caught him going up to the bar and buying a round of drinks for everybody he was sitting with.
Right.
And so I walked by him and clapped him on the hands, like, you know, said a smart-ass comment, and then went up and sat down at the laptop on stage that was playing the music. And next thing I know, like 75 seconds later, he comes up and hands me a beer.
Hey, no, there you go.
And so I thought that was pretty cool. And, of course, it got Otto all mad.
Because he didn't get his beer.
I'm sorry, Vinny Fever got... He just said, hey, where's mine? Come on, I'm doing all this other stuff. Said, yeah, shut up. I'm the one who handed him the money. It was your idea. Enjoy it. I'll just drink the beer. He just, like, gave me a look of daggers.
So, yeah.
Did you get cut out of the bar?
No.
Okay.
And that's perfectly okay, and there's a reason. I made a deal with the Royal Canadian Legion.
You pack the place, they get the beer.
I'm not going into details, but it's mutually, and don't be thinking, because you guys all know me well enough to know that I'm going to make a deal that's beneficial to me as well as anybody else. But
that's why I was asking if you were getting a cut of the bar.
Here's the Legion's part of the deal was they got the concession.
That's
okay. Makes sense.
And believe me, that benefited my pocketbook and Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's pocketbook.
Yeah, because you don't have to pay for it.
Don't say anything.
It's common sense, dude.
It's an ancient Chinese secret.
Oh, come on. It's common sense. If they're covering the concessions, then they're paying for the concessions. If you're covering the concessions, then you pay for it. It's common sense.
That's coming from someone who's worked in concessions.
I've never worked concessions.
I thought you did. For TNA?
No, I never worked concessions. I worked their merch stand.
Oh, merch. Okay. Close enough. Anyway, want to take a break, Tim, and then actually get into some wrestling?
Yeah, why don't we take our first time out of the evening and come back, and we'll figure something else to talk about. I don't know, maybe football. You'll listen to WTR tonight, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back right after this.
Fuck the Giants.
Don't be upset because you clearly didn't have a football.
Go Falcons.
Stop and think twice before you take your first step out that door. If you want a stepper, stepper, you're gonna get knocked down. If you want a stepper, stepper, you're gonna get knocked down.
everybody. Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com, reminding you that every Friday night we get deep. That's right. Have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m. with my Wake Up Call. We talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppens, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say. Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one. Ooh, if I took you home and be a woman, show me how you do. I wanna shut down the
going wild, just pumping music. I'm
might lose it. Glass to the roof, how we lose it, lose it, lose it. I don't care tonight, she don't care, we like almost there, the right vibe. Ready to get live, ain't no surprise, take me so high, jumping those dives, surfing the crowd. Ooh, then I gotta be the man, I'm the head of my band, might check 1, 2.
Try to stall long enough to see if he would come back, but he's not back. Welcome back, everybody, back to Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by TweakedAudio.com and PWMania.com. It's time to get into it a little bit, guys.
You can't even let me take off my goddamn coat, can you?
No.
You forget, I'm in Canada. We have a thing called winter here.
Winter?
Yes, Omega, you know how it's like 70 degrees in Florida right now and you're feeling chilly with your parka?
Yeah.
Well, it's like minus 70 degrees in Canada and I'm wearing a parka and it's chillier.
It hasn't been above freezing since I got back from Georgia, okay?
It's actually not that cold here. We had something called a Chinook blow-in, and it's, well, it's nighttime here now, so the sun's down, and the temperature has dropped correspondingly to a nice balmy minus 8 degrees Celsius.
I didn't quite hear that. Let me turn my fan off.
And then we can all talk about how much of a jackass you are. Here we go, Blimmin' Omega for Florida weather.
Yep, I did it. It's me, Austin.
So like I was saying, we are actually going to talk wrestling tonight, Tim.
I don't want to talk wrestling. Let's talk about something else.
We're talking wrestling.
Nah, I want to talk about Tina. Oh, sorry, never mind.
No, Tina Fey is overrated.
Hey, Tina Fey is cool. Yeah, let's talk wrestling.
You're the host, so get on it.
Well, why don't we talk about what you guys think the tag team of the year should be?
Well, everyone knows what we're going to say, so...
I have no idea what I'm going to say, or you, or anybody else.
That's a lie.
What? What are you talking about?
Okay. Lindsay, who's your favorite? Who's the tag team of the year?
Oh, hell no. I'm sorry. I had to do that. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I'm undecided.
Really?
I can't decide between Anger Buddies and Bad Influence / the World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Hmm.
Because both were equally entertaining, equally awesome, but for me... I'm going to get killed for saying this, but I think the World Tag Team Champions of the World actually have a little bit more of an edge over the Anger Buddies.
Whoa. Ooh.
Just because they did it with way better style. Like, every week it was something different. With them, whereas Hell No, it was kind of sort of the same thing every week. It was equally funny. It was equally entertaining. But Daniels and Kaz just, they did so many different things in one storyline that it just, yeah, that kind of puts them over the edge. The originality factor just, and the style. Just, yeah.
They also brought us Claire Lynch.
I get this, but I can look past Claire Lynch to just... The fact that Daniels comes down to the ring and says, this is my jam, y'all. Just, yeah.
Oh.
We threw this question out on the Facebook. Will McConnell also said Hell No or Bad Influence. Matthew Forsina said the Anger Buddies or Road Scholars, which is another interesting one to throw out there.
Oh, come on. The Road Scholars are only good because of Cody's mustache.
And his point was, Road Scholars, unless you consider that a trio with the mustache.
I swear, I didn't read the Facebook or the Twitter. I didn't. I really didn't.
I understand. And Jed, because if you've read it, ooh, God, things went weird places on Friday. Jed, who's in our chat room.
Dude, that was the best conversation ever.
It really was.
I don't know who Jed is, but howdy, how are you?
Jed's one of the hosts on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling
Show.
Yeah,
he's the host of a show on your network.
I don't know who Jed is, but howdy, how are you? Come on, I've only ever talked to Scott Barry. Give me a break. I know who Jed is.
Now you do.
Shut up, I did.
You might just have to, Jed. He threw out the name because we got off some tangent in one of the conversations. He throws out three-man band as the tag team of the year.
Whoa. Back up. No, whoa. Back up the bus.
Said from a man who watches nothing but superstars.
I thought you watched Saturday Morning Slam.
I watch more than Saturday Morning Slam.
Okay.
Hey. You know, if Drew McIntyre walked around with a half-empty bottle of liquor, I would be inclined to agree with you, but he won't do it. He needs to walk around with the liquor bottle. He needs to do it just to sell it further. Because he's got the perfect, like, douchey Axl Rose 80s hairband look going on. He needs that empty liquor bottle, I'm telling you. And then it'll be perfect.
Mace chimed in with the Anger Buddies. I gotta lean Kane and Daniel Bryan slightly over Bad Influence. I don't know. I just dig them a little bit more. What about you, Omega?
Do I get a turn now?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Jeez. Thought we had a pecking order around here.
It goes Lindsay, the fans, me, then you, and then finally Tim.
Because my word is the be all end all. Omega, you may be the be all end all, but my word is the be all end all.
There can't be two ends here. An end
parallel universe, man. Multiphysics.
Do not Star Trek me right now.
That was actually invented. Oh, that reminds me. How did your dad like his triple? Did he get the joke?
Here's the funny thing. He didn't get the joke right away.
Uh-huh.
But a friend of his that came over the next day he showed it off to got it immediately.
Okay, and let me guess. This friend's not the big Trek fan that your dad is.
No.
Okay.
It's weird.
Okay, that makes it twice as funny to me.
I find it weird. Does a casual fans seem to know the triple episode better than hardcore fans do? I don't know why, but it seems to be that way. Tag team?
Yes, tag team.
Our favorite Anger Buddies. I admit, part of it's because I have not watched TNA all year.
Except for Sundays, sometimes.
Yeah, except when I'm contractually obligated.
Yeah, there you go.
Even then, I'm usually playing Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
Chica Pika.
It's more than that, though. It's the anger management skits with Harold, with Dr. Shelby. It's the sketch in the diner. It's all the times that they took Kane and Brian out of their element and put them as the odd couple. Mm-hmm. It's the exchanges they have now, where even little things like when Kane was carrying Brian away during the Slammies, just little bits like that, they can still make hysterical.
No, it's when Kane gets Brian a Slammy for Christmas. And then you sit there and you wonder, okay, who got their ass beat for Kane to get that?
Once again, Kofi Kingston.
Hopefully Michael Cole.
I say Kofi.
Can you can totally see like Kane shoving Cole into like a high school style locker, just shutting him in there after taking his lunch money and his Slammy.
He gives him a wedgie.
Now that's vintage Michael Cole.
No, but they've been some of the most entertaining things on Raw, and they took Daniel Bryan, who was already running on a pretty good high, and brought him to new heights, and it rejuvenated Kane. It, you know, it brought out a side of him that hasn't been done before. You know, where it's not the big red machine, it's not the monster, it's not the bald psychopath. You know, it's not even Darth Kane that came before the tag team. It's this new little dimension to him, where he can be right. the straight man, but he can still be really entertaining to watch.
And all of you question why I love him so.
Who questions?
We don't question it. We're just concerned by it.
That's a good way to put it. We have one in chat from Jersey Girl. She says ODB and Eric Young.
Yeah, but they kind of sort of didn't
they had a great
do a lot with them after they got married because EY's been gone for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, typical marriage isn't going well is when the husband spends more time fishing.
You know, hey, wait a minute.
I will see this, though.
Guys, I'm sorry to cut you off, Lindsay. I got to say this before I forget about it. Omega, what you just said, that actually helps keep marriages together in some cases.
They are still together, aren't they?
I might still be married had I gone fishing a little more often.
Well, I would say this. They may not win Tag Team of the Year, but I will say they win Wedding of the Year.
A very big competition.
Well, no, it could fit into one of our other categories. We'll get to later on in the show. So, Tim, what about you?
What? Oh, you know.
We gave you enough time to figure this out.
Yeah. I don't know. I like what Hell No has been doing since they got together. I don't know. They've been the most entertaining for my buck, mm-hmm. really, you know? And yeah, I'm with Omega on TNA, contractual obligations.
Okay, so that's one of them. What's next, Tim? So, but should we agree on one? Do we agree that it's Anger Buddies?
I don't think we have to agree on a consensus to these.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is just opinions. I don't think we have to. Haha, Lindsay, you don't win because we pick somebody else.
No, I'm just saying an overall. We all get our own and just an overall.
I was talking about
my League Fantasy, sorry.
I know what you're
talking about. No, we have the great debate to point at each other and go, huh, you lost.
Yeah.
By the way,
we've done that enough on this great debate anyway. Up next, everybody, the female of the year. Let's start with the female of WTR.
You know, honestly, I have to say it. It's got to go to AJ. She's been the most, as much as I love ODB, AJ has been the most relevant female of 2012. She really, truly has, because if you look at where she started as Daniel Bryan's insignificant girlfriend, and she had major plot. She has now had major plot lines run around her since the summer. She's essentially either right at main event level or right below main event level, and she's not even a contender for it. She's brought relevance to women in wrestling, and she doesn't even wrestle. It's sad, but I'll take it. Especially when you consider the fact that she's not a sex object, she's running around semi-scantily dressed, but there's still a sense of modesty to it, if it makes sense. And she's not the typical diva that you see, she's the nerdy, dorky chick. That's not stacked with a shit ton of plastic. So yeah, I gotta go with AJ.
All right, Omega, what do you think?
I think this is going to be unanimous.
Well, between the two of you.
No, it's AJ.
Okay. Or just say what she said.
In a diva division that is completely washed out with big fake tits with absolutely no depth to them whatsoever, she's the one girl who's gotten to shine as something as more than just an object. I mean, yes, she's kind of ending 2012 with a reputation of the public bicycle. But she's got a character that kind of supports that. She's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And aside from, it's just a different take on a diva than we usually get. It also makes her really hard to predict, and she's really freaking good at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the rare times they've given a diva a quirk that actually works for her.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, say, making a diva an exhibitionist.
Who can't work a bra?
Can't work a bra.
Well, another thing to point out is the runner-up to AJ would be Eve.
Another diva who was actually given crap to do. She just hasn't been as entertaining with it. She's been a glorious bitch, but not entertaining.
Sorry. I'm getting text messages like crazy here. And I can't tell you what they're all about, but they're making me laugh my ass off. That's beside the point. I'm going to agree with you guys. It's AJ. And I'm just going to basically summarize what you both said. She breaks the mold. This is where you say, ooh, hey, Tim, good summary.
But you need a summary. We've already gone over everything.
I just summarized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Golf clap.
We could ask Rock because, you know, he's...
I don't have a headset anymore. I can actually do that.
So like I said, we could always ask Rock, Diva of the Year.
Well, we go through what people said on the Facebook.
Well, yeah, why don't you go through what people said on the Facebook?
On the Facebook and the Twitter.
Oh, no, hey, you know, they dropped the word "the" when they came out with Facebook.
Yeah, I know that, Tim. Just move along. Kane Ken says, can I vote Kelly Kelly and the Bellas for leaving and being bigger than the business and hopefully setting the WWE division on the right track?
Yes, you can.
Matthew Forsina chimed in with terror, of course. Jed, I can't remember who he picked. He picked Sarah DeRay as the female of the year. And then Will McConnell goes, AJ's the one who sticks out, honestly, unless I can count Lita beating the one-man bam, baby, without Omega blowing his lid.
What?
Yeah. No, I disqualify that just on for the simple principle that it was a one-off.
Most things with Lita are.
There you go. See, I set him up and you knock him down.
So does she. Bada boom.
Like I said. Bada boom boom.
Yeah. AJ is clear front runner. I did like what they did with Eve. They actually gave her a character. She actually developed a good heel character, so she would be number two in my eyes. But AJ is clearly number one.
I am so full of meh for Eve.
But they've actually done some stuff with her compared to others.
Yes, but they spent half the year dressing her up as Wonder Woman.
And probably pictures available on WWE.com. But yeah. That's just my thought.
Okay. Why don't we talk about the comeback of the year? And let's preface it right now. You cannot save Jerry Lawler from the heart attack.
That one slammy, so we can move on.
So, let's start with Rock before he goes away again.
Yeah, let's start with me. This is a tough one, honestly. You have Chris Jericho who came back with the big hype, and we were all trying to guess what the video was, and it was basically nothing. Like most Chris Jericho comebacks, the videos are more hype than what he delivers. But him not speaking was kind of different and unusual. It apparently was a Vince McMahon idea. And then I remember we had a conversation. I don't remember what. It was right after when Brock retired. We were like, wonder what happens if he would show up at WrestleMania or come back. And then he came back this year. And while some, you know, people will go, okay, it wasn't that big of a deal, his comeback was pretty good, despite the limited amount of dates. So I'm gonna lean to Brock Lesnar, because the moment he had after WrestleMania, his match with John Cena, which was really good, Brock Lesnar, comeback of the year.
Wow. Okay, Lindsay.
Everybody's going to roll their eyes, but I'm actually going to say Kane. Just because of the anger management stuff and where he started.
By the way, hold on. Tony Romo just did what he did best.
I know, he threw an interception, but he was about to give it to freaking DeMarco Murray, which pisses me off. Anyway.
Sorry.
I'm going to say Kane, just because Kane started out where he came back in the mask, and we got that really awkward, horrible Cena storyline. And then he was fed to Orton, because Orton had nobody fight with, because Barrett got hurt. And then we went into the whole Cena, or the whole Punk Bryan thing, and then we got anger management, which has just as, I forget whether it was Omega or it was Rock who said it, that completely has rejuvenated the Kane character and made it into something new and different. Because we've seen Kane do comedy in the past, but we haven't seen him do comedy like this. And I have to give them a huge thumbs up for it. I applaud them immensely for it, because he is so entertaining to watch. And the best part is you can tell he's having fun doing it. Like, you can look at both of them and tell they're just having an absolute blast. So, yeah, Kane.
Never would have thunk it. Omega!
To go with my usual direction as a mark, I'm giving it to The Miz.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Why?
Okay. Of course, we have the low that he's trying to recover from. Main eventing WrestleMania and then doing nothing. He recovered from an aborted storyline, which left him with absolutely nothing to do for months. Stuck with it. He's been the media guy for the WWE. He's got the movie coming out, The Marine 3, coming to a DVD rack near you.
Yeah.
But he's kind of risen back from, you know, that low that would normally get a lot of people fired, and he's becoming a lot more prominent again. You know, for the first time, he's getting over as a face, which he struggled with in the past. I mean, I'm starting to see a little bit of the potential that he's been having, because he does have a charisma to him. He does have some skills in the ring. He just never gets to showcase them since all the plans for him fell through to begin with.
All right.
Now, before we go to you, Tim, I want to throw out some we got on the Facebook.
You know what? Don't even bother going to me, because I have no answer to this, but go to Facebook.
Well, maybe these will help you along. We have one for The Undertaker from Kane Kinnens. He says, honestly, Taker, no one thought he would be able to put on a match like he did at WrestleMania with Hunter, and he not only far exceeded expectations, but set up at least another match or two down the road. Jed Schaefer says, The Big Show, his character was adrift at the end of 2011. This year he's gotten a lot of depth, and the ironclad contract really helps him get over his imposing human force of will monster gimmick. but he has a touch of insecurity about it, which makes him more believable. He hasn't been this interesting ever. Will McConnell goes, part of me wants to say Daniel Bryan's leap to overness after Mania 28, but I'll drop the Bryan marking and go with Lesnar. Then we will, let's go to Mace, because there's a couple, another person put out name on the Facebook as well. Mace says Paul Heyman.
Of course he does.
Really didn't give a response, but he just listed who he thought would win each thing. And by the way, he said for female AJ. I could see Paul Heyman, because he's come back and he's not the character he once was, but he's pretty damn good at what he's doing.
Which is being a foil to CM Punk.
Yes. Let's see. Will McConnell also chimed in with, there's a Brooke Hogan and a comeback joke to be made. So, there you go. So, Tim, you don't have an answer?
I kind of like the Big Show, the Big Show one, because that makes sense. I could support that.
You can support that?
I can.
Okay. So, that's comeback of the year. What's next, Tim?
Up next is the best announcer.
Best announcer?
I don't think I put that one out on Facebook. No, I didn't put that one out on Facebook. So, chime in the chat room with our changes.
This is one that Rock forgot to post on Facebook. Yeah, best announcer of the year. Now, when you come up with this, let's figure this out. Now, were you talking about ring announcer or back stage guy or what?
Guy paid to talk.
Yeah.
Which is basically any of them.
Yes. Anyone.
Okay. Omega.
JBL. And you talk about a breath of fresh air on a show that desperately needed it. You listen to Raw right now. Well, let's put it this way: after it's sad that we have a heart attack on, you know, during a live event to thank for JBL actually having that door open to him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the weird way the world works, it's something that the WWE desperately needed to do, because heel Cole was getting so tiring and so unbearable. You know, and bullshit still annoys me. But he is way more tolerable than he was at the beginning of the year. Way more tolerable.
He's no longer heel.
No. He kind of slips every now and then, but he's not obnoxiously heel.
He's more of a tweener.
Yeah, as a tweener, I can kind of... And really, he's only a tweener so he can play off of Lawler a little bit more. But JBL bringing an actual heel announcer who knows how to be a heel announcer? Way better. Way better.
Are you done?
This is the point where someone else talks.
That's why I asked if you were done. Lindsay!
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Ring announcer.
It fits.
Yeah. Well, I mean, could only say either JR or JBL or possibly heel Cole's face turn. I mean, for the commentators, but yeah, I gotta go with Ricardo just because he has been entertaining his high holy fuck this year. He's more over than Alberto Del Rio. Like, we actually are going to watch Raw just for one of his segments because
yes.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
because we read the spoilers. So it's, yeah, I mean, honestly, I hated Ricardo in the beginning, but he's grown on me, and I love him. He's, like, I was telling Rock, he made the Christmas episode of Raw just based on his reactions when Del Rio hit Santa, and then the backstage stuff, and then when he came out to announce Alberto, he comes out, takes one look at the crime scene, and starts wailing.
Just bawling as he announces Del Rio.
Like, he can't even get through it because he's like, oh my god, Santa! And then when Santa came out, like, he had to look at every... Yeah, like, you know, when Santa came out, and his face lit up, and he looked like that 5-year-old little boy on Christmas, and he's like, you're here! And he's, like, running at him with his arms held out. It just... It made it. It completely, totally made it.
And what completed that scene completely was the red bag right over top of his head.
Yes.
Instead of getting a chance to hug him.
So, I mean, yeah, I have to go with Ricardo. He has just come leaps and bounds this year, and they need to push him. They need to push him really hard. Put him in the ring, split him off from Del Rio, make him his own character, because he's just awesome.
El Locale.
El Locale. We want El Locale, damn it.
There you go. All right, Rock, you're up.
Well, Lindsay just swayed my vote. Ricardo Rodriguez.
I get the feeling you hadn't thought of that possibility.
No, I didn't. I was leaning towards JBL. Her argument swayed me. Yeah, Ricardo. And Mace chimed in with JBL.
Yeah, well, cool. I got to say JBL, too. That was a pop. I mean, it was terrible circumstances that he had come back on a regular basis, but it all worked out, and he carried the ball very well. And everybody's all happy that he's back. And, boy, I tell you, I love the hard time he's giving Cole. So that's just the highlight of the night right there when he just gives Cole the gears. JBL.
Okay. The chat room's turning out like the likes of Justin Roberts from Ring Announcer and Jeremy Borash from Backstage Announcer.
Someone nominate Lillian. Got hit by a car and came back.
Yeah, but it took her a couple weeks.
If she came back the next week, then she would be clearly announcer of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
Haven't even had time to get the bumper out of her hair.
Clearly. If she came back, if she was that tough the next day, she's back on set, you know, she's an it.
Tis but a flesh wound.
Oh, God. I could have watched that movie the other night and changed my mind and decided to watch something else that I was sorry I watched.
Why?
I don't...
If ever you have the chance to watch that movie, you must.
I can watch that movie anytime I want. It's on the internet and my computer's hooked up the TV, so sharp. So there.
What's next, Tim?
When we're done tonight. That's that there. There we go. Event of the Year is up next. The Event of the Year. Rock?
This is a tough one. Everyone's general idea is WrestleMania. Extreme Rules was pretty good. Even though we got Rock and Cena and the three-way, not the three-way, Taker and Hunter at WrestleMania. I'm going Extreme Rules.
Okay, Lindsay.
I'm going to go just for nostalgia factor, the 1000th Raw.
Okay. Omega?
I'd have to agree with Lindsay. 1000th Raw, 1000th Raw was a great show.
I have to agree with both of you guys. That was better to me than WrestleMania, and everybody knows what my opinions of WrestleMania this past year was. So, and if you don't remember, check out the archives.
Three words, Mae Young's son.
I forgot to tell you guys, when I was flying back from Christmas, they were paging Mae Young in the airport. Like, I was sitting there at the gate getting ready to get on the airplane in Atlanta, and they're like, Delta Airlines is paging inbound passenger Mae Young. And I actually looked up and looked around.
You should have gone to the Delta Airlines counter just to see if it was her.
If it was in my concourse, I would have.
That's funny.
Mae stars out WrestleMania 28. That's his choice.
Easy answer, Mae.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, up next we got storyline or feud of the year, Lindsay.
Oh. I want to give it to Anger Buddies. I really do. But I think I'm going to give it to Taker and Triple H that much more. Just because it's something that they started at WrestleMania 27 and they carried it through to 28 and they built to 28 and gave us just something absolutely amazing. Like, I mean, that rivalry, they walked out and they didn't say anything to each other, and they did it twice. Like, they did it once in 2011, and then they did it again in 2012, and it was just equally as powerful. Like, I don't know why, I want to give it to them.
Okay. Omega?
Likewise, I really want to give it to the Anger Buddies, specifically Kane and Brian and AJ. But, and I can't believe I'm doing this, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here, and I'm going with Cena and Rock. Because, you know what? I have to hand it to the WWE on this one. They rolled the dice on this, you know, risking The Rock getting injured during one of his movie shoots, which he's done, risking Cena getting injured during his year, which he's in the ring, which he's done. To bank on that for a whole year, to play it up on social media, to drop the little reminders on TV, and then to ramp up the feud full scale when it was approaching WrestleMania, and then pull off a John Cena match that's watchable, which is kind of hard to do. You know what? They took a gamble, they rolled the dice, and it came up huge. I mean, I've been more entertained by other feuds this year, Kane, Brian, AJ, but I have to be honest here. There wasn't a bigger feud, and there wasn't one with a bigger payoff.
Okay, well put together and well spoken. Rock!
Before I give mine, we'll throw out what people are saying. Jed says Punk, Brian, Kane, and AJ. Mace went with the crazy AJ storyline. Kane threw out Daniels and AJ Styles. Tommy goes Taker versus Triple H. And they're all good ones. Omega made a great point about Rock and Cena. I'm leaning towards Taker and Hunter. I don't know. The build-up and then the completion of it with it being the end of the era. Yeah, I'm going with that. Taker and Hunter mixed with Shawn Michaels.
I think it's more that lasting impression at 28 where they're all three of them standing on the stage, arm in arm, Taker and Hunter are beat to fuck. And they're just all looking out on the audience, and it's that heartbreaking moment because you stand there and you're like, oh my god, there goes my childhood.
Hold on, we'll get there. Get there for the moment. But yeah, that is one of the lasting images. And yeah, King Kim said the revolving door of the general manager.
Hmm. I don't know who to say or what to talk about with this one, really. Everything that's come along, to me, in my opinion, things have happened so long ago and are all over with, and things that are happening now that are just, or recently, that are just too new or haven't taken very much time at all, it hasn't really left anything sticking into my brain. As far as, you know, storyline of the year, the only one I could really think about coming up with would be CM Punk, actually, to tell you the truth.
Him for the 400 plus days.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So, yeah, you know, are you forcing me to pick one?
Yes.
Then that would be it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Why don't we take a break and come back with Roundtable on the other side of this quick little timeout?
Yeah, we're doing also Superstar Match and, yeah, some other fun stuff.
Yeah, everybody, we'll be back right after this.
So we can move a little faster. I'll make it real. I'm not a glorious disaster. What power living says you gotta die.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Extreme died. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yeah, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live. Midnight, we're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is...
Yeah. Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zima Ion, Tess Mocker, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No. I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Okay, well, since somebody's going to bring it back, I'll bring it back. Welcome back to Wild Talk Radio, or Wrestle Talk Radio right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by pwmania.com and tweakedaudio.com, because Tim has abandoned us.
No, I'm still here.
You almost got it right, Lindsay.
Almost got it right. Well, fuck it, it's not my show.
You came close, and I'm impressed. Very good, girl. Not bad for a female.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
I was in for that.
Wow, Tim. Wow.
Yeah, I was kind of kidding.
Kind of?
Yeah, kind of kidding.
Kind of kidding. I was kidding, kind of.
Kidding.
It's not like he said to go gub. It's not like he told me to get back in the kitchen or anything.
Yeah, Omega does that. And he gets away with it, so go fuck yourself.
I've never once told her to go to the kitchen.
Don't even finish that.
He's told me to go other places, but not the kitchen.
Exactly.
But I still had an apron on.
Yeah,
and only on Tuesday nights.
There we go. Oh, wait a minute. That feels better. Feel free to sneeze if you have to.
Especially
I did.
Especially into the mic.
Right into the mic. Wasn't that great? So where were we?
We're at best moment. Or no, we should do the roundtable first.
We can do a roundtable right now and then get into the rest of it.
Okay, here's the roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
And the roundtable question for tonight. What will be the biggest story of 2013, Omega?
You mean other than the time I actually go to Philadelphia and kill Rock for that intro?
Yeah.
You said it, I didn't.
Well, 48 bodies. God, see, that's a hard question, especially in the world of WWE, where you try to think logically, and then they kind of shit the bed on that. The biggest story in 2013 should be, you know, It should be something like, oh, you know, Cena beats The Rock at WrestleMania, if it wasn't telegraphed from 6 months away. God, I'm trying to think now.
Let me give you a minute.
Give me a minute.
Alright, I'll throw out the one I was thinking of. Me and Mace kind of debated back and forth about this a little bit, and we both came up with basically the same answer. Dolph Ziggler winning the World Championship or the WWE Championship, whatever you consider it, and actually being a credible champion. That should be the biggest story, because then we would actually have a new star made.
Actually, can I tie that in one scenario further?
Go ahead.
Dolph Ziggler wins the WWE title off The Rock at WrestleMania.
Whoa. Really?
He cashes in his money in the bank. He either wins or loses, depending on what you want. And he wins a shot either at the Rumble or he wins it in the chamber. And he gets The Rock at Mania. And beats him. Think of it, will never happen. It's the most illogical, fantastic storyline, short of Ziggler beating Taker for the streak. But think of what that would do for Ziggler to be standing over The Rock at WrestleMania in New York, New Jersey, holding both belts. Or even the WWE title if you want it.
I like this story. I've heard it before.
Instant.
But I like this story.
Star.
Instant star right there, yes. And that ties into mine being a credible world champion. Because you can win the world title. Anyone can win it. But it's what you do afterwards. And if he continues to get wins, like he got on SmackDown, where he clearly wins the match, that's how you're going to build a star. Anyone?
Biggest story of 2013.
See, I worry about Ziggler because they've held off on that. They've held off on cashing in for so long now. They have to wait until WrestleMania is over for it to mean anything, because otherwise it's just going to switch back.
But is that so bad?
It is when he's held on to it this long and he's had this much, you know, he's teased this many times that he was going to cash in. When he does cash in, he has to hang on to the belt. You know, we already know it's Cena versus Rock for the title at Mania. We already know that it's going to be Sheamus and Orton for the world title.
Supposedly,
but that's been a concrete plan. Well, it's WWE, so not much, but it's the one plan they haven't changed for months now.
Mm-hmm. But plans changed. Supposedly, the rumor is plans did change for Mania based on certain factors that have come into play. What, we don't know, but they could very well say, okay, well, we don't want to do Cena Rock 2 anymore. We don't want to do Orton Sheamus. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. I mean, I agree with you. It probably will end up being that, but they may shake it up too. Ziggler's over like a motherfucker.
Yeah. If I'm going to, okay, how about, okay.
Very least here, put him in the world title match.
Here we go.
Okay.
Ziggler retains the world title at Mania versus Sheamus and Orton.
Now that's your credible win.
There you go.
He's held on to it this long. I foresee him cashing in sometime soon, and I don't think they're going to make him transitional based solely on, you're right, he is over as hell.
I see him cashing it in probably either at the Rumble or at the Chamber. Because if Show is champion by the Chamber, he'll probably go in as champion at Mania, but I doubt it. But that would probably be the easiest way, is you have somebody like, I don't know, Santino take the belt off of Show at the Chamber, and then you have Ziggler come in and cash in. Somebody that he can just come in, beat the fuck out of him, and take the belt and leave.
Well, we know the Chamber is a very popular place to cash in Money in the Bank, because whoever's won the match, you couldn't see the air quotes despite the new microphone. But whoever wins that is usually beat to bloody hell.
Right.
It's one of the times the Superman Cena has lost his title.
To the Rated R Superstar.
Yeah, so it's perfectly feasible that in the next couple months Ziggler may cash in, or he may be like somebody, I think it was you, Omega, that said that he goes to cash in at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and they tell him, I'm sorry, it's expired.
I think that was Mace's prediction, because even in the realm of WWE, I can't foresee them doing something that stupid.
I mean, I honestly
think they're trying to make a credible star out of Dolph Ziggler, which is the whole reason they gave him a win over Cena at TLC.
Oh, I believe that wholeheartedly. I just, in some way, I kind of wish Cena had gotten the Money in the Bank, just because it takes that yoke off of Ziggler, and that opens so many more possibilities for him.
But that's...
Unless...
But, you know, honestly, to come that far and then fail to even have his Money in the Bank doesn't do Ziggler any favors, nor does it do Cena any favors, because he can have a title match anytime he wants.
Oh, I know. It's like, well, it would be great if they would do this with Dolph Ziggler, except, oh yeah, he's got Money in the Bank. So until he cashes it in, at least the way I see him, as many doors aren't open to him.
See, I still... WWE will never be smart enough to book it. But I'm still in favor of having someone win the Money in the Bank and then just put it aside. Like, be it something that everyone's, like, totally forgotten about, doesn't walk out to the ring with it. Yeah, and they mention Money in the Bank once or twice for the next few months, and then never mention it again. Let him win a title shot by his own hand, win the belt, go to Mania, and manufacture what would eventually turn into a 2 out of 3 falls match, where he loses, where, you know, let's say it's Ziggler versus Cena, and then Cena pins him, wins the belt, and, you know, during the huge celebration, during the confetti thing, you know, like, even the pyro guys have completely forgotten this, reaches under the ring, pulls out Money in the Bank, and goes for an immediate rematch. Wins the belt back, and
that's how you close out the show.
Yeah. Wins the belt back, and it'd be a okay, you got one, let me have one, and cash in his return match clause immediately. So you turn it into a 2 out of 3 falls.
That'd be different.
That would be good.
I'm going to throw out this, because even though this is a Tuesday night where indie wrestling matters, Ring of Honor dies is what Jed Schaefer threw out there as the big story of 2013. Oh, and I forgot to lead where Florida Indie Wrestling matters. My bad. Anyway.
I'm going to say Punk loses the title to The Rock.
Well, everyone knows that's coming.
That's going to be the story of the year, simply because WWE will not let it go.
So you mean all year long he's going to harp on that?
Yep.
No, I don't think it's going to be Punk losing to The Rock. I think it's going to be whoever takes the belt off of Rock. That's going to be the story.
Which will probably be John Cena. But here, you want to go with a story for Punk? Punk beats the streak.
Okay, you go to your corner, right? Both of you, go to your corners, right?
Keep
now.
No, seriously. I've said it on the show before. If anyone ever does beat the streak, it's going to be the biggest rub in wrestling history. I mean, you beat a...
Yes, it is.
Because look at how it's treated. It's treated as a more important feat than the world title is. You know, believe it or not, that little winning streak carries so much more weight than any of the world title belts do. And it's contested so much better.
It is contested so much better, but think of how the fans are going to react.
That's the point. Whoever does it is going to be over as a heel forever.
They're going to be
In one night, you'll create the next Ric Flair. Just someone who is always a heel. He's going to be hated by the masses. But you know what? If he beat Punk, the glorious thing about it is if he beat Undertaker straight up, there's nothing they can say about it. He did do it. Hate him for it if you want, but the fact is, it happened. You can hate it, but you can't deny it. It's the biggest rub that anyone would ever get, ever. And it could only go to someone who could carry it for years, for the rest of their career. Punk is someone who's capable of doing that.
But Punk's almost done. Punk said he's not sticking around long term. He's not going to be John Cena. He's not going to be Taker. I have a really strong feeling, unless Vince throws a shit ton of money at him, that Punk is done at the end of this contract. So it makes no sense to give it to him only to have him leave.
I'm not saying they'd actually do it.
Well, I know, but if you're going to give it to somebody, give it to a younger guy. Give it to, like, Wade Barrett or somebody like that. Use it to make someone. Don't use it to enhance someone.
I'll tell you this right now. It's going to be CM Punk versus The Undertaker at Mania.
I understand this. And The Undertaker will still be bald, and I will still cry. And if Taker loses, don't you even say that I can't deny it. You have no idea how strong my denial can be at times. Like, in my world, The Undertaker still has hair.
Yes, we know.
35.
And still wearing leather pants.
And still wearing leather pants and looking damn good in them. So don't even say that I can't deny when The Undertaker loses. And by the way, if that does happen, you are going to hear a cry of agony come out of Utah from which the likes you have never heard before. Like, Rock was there when I saw Taker's hair for the first time. It's going to be 5 times worse than that.
Oh, I can imagine.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of ultimate suffering. My heart made that noise when the 6 million man killed my father. Lindsay makes it now.
Thank you, Indigo.
Alrighty then. Why don't we move on to your buy or sell thing?
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell.
No! 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 No!
We still do this segment?
Yes, we do, when there's stuff to talk about. You know, when there's no news, we can't really do this segment.
Well, technically, this is no news either. We're just speculating.
But I have items, so just move on. Buy or sell. We'll start with you, Omega. Buy or sell. Zack Ryder was fired in 2013.
Sell. What they're not doing with him in the ring, they're doing with him online, and he's still got the most popular web show. He's kind of responsible for the entire web presence of the WWE. They'll keep him around purely for social media strength, even if they don't use him properly on Raw and market him the way they should have been doing through 2012.
Lindsay.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Sell this. He's low on the totem pole, but there are people who are a lot lower than he is, and I think they're going to get let go before him. He's got a strong enough presence and a strong enough following to where it's not like they can just let him go and not hear about it. I think you're going to see the likes of Slater and McIntyre and Mahal go before Ryder goes.
Tim.
I got to sell this one. I don't think he'll be fired, but I can see him leaving just because they're not doing anything with him but social media.
Okay, we have a couple buys in the chat room. Buy or sell, The Rock will wrestle 5 times in 2013, Omega.
Okay, let's see here. In my head, I can only see 3.
Okay.
And those are the pay-per-views. It's the Rumble where he wins the title. It's the Elimination Chamber where he defends it. And then Mania, where he loses it.
Okay.
Raw 20th.
Huh?
Raw 20th.
All right, so Raw Lindsay, buy or sell?
I didn't even say buy or sell. All I said was I can only see him 3 times. I'm trying to imagine what the other two would be.
Okay.
Raw 20.
Which is the 14th, by the way.
and probably the day after Mania.
No, about the day after Mania.
Possibly SummerSlam.
God, that's hard to say.
The key word, Ken Cannons, is Russell. Russell.
Yeah. Around SummerSlam, he's going to be busy on G.I. Joe again, just doing the press media.
So do you buy or sell Omega?
I'm going to sell it because I believe it's going to be less than that, but it doesn't say five times at least, so it might be more. It's a very small margin to hit.
Lindsay?
I'll buy it just on the standpoint that he has agreed to work the chamber, and that was something that a couple months ago we were all trying to figure out if he would actually have the nerve to do it. So if he's agreed to work the chamber, I can imagine he's probably agreed to do a couple other dates as well. They're going to want to get their money's worth out of him, and he's going to want to scratch that itch, because that's apparently why he's come back, is he's got the wrestling bug again. So I can imagine at least five matches. I wouldn't say too many more than that, but yeah, I can see five.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm selling this one. I don't see him doing five just because of movie commitments and shit like that and whatever. Omega with his three, that sounds, you know, pretty bang on to me.
Buy or sell, we'll start with Lindsay on this one, Hulk Hogan will win the world title in 2013. Lindsay.
What? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What?
You have to give her a second to get off the floor from laughing.
Yeah. No, oh no, no, I've already heard this. This is the Hogan topic?
Mm-hmm.
Buy it. That is your main event for lockdown, people. I'm calling it now. Hogan's going to get his knee surgery, and he's going to win the title either at lockdown. If it doesn't happen at lockdown, then it's happening at Slammiversary. Because that's who they're banking on to sell out the fifth of the Alamo Dome that they have.
Omega by ourselves. Hulk Hogan wins the world title in 2013.
Woo! That's funny. That is funny. Hogan's going to have a team at Lethal Lockdown. It's not going to be for the title. It's just going to be the big, giant 5-on-5 brawl it always is. He's not winning the belt. I mean, he's had so many chances to do it when he was less broken down than he is now.
So that's a sell?
Yeah. That's a sell, if only because... God, did you see him run down his list of surgeries he's had?
Yep.
It reads like the $6 million man.
Do 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 do
Tim.
Do 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 do. So, Hulk Hogan with the title? No. Hulk Hogan doing anything in the ring? No. If that happens, I'm not watching.
Buy or sell, the New Age Outlaws get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Tim.
You know, I could buy that. They've been actually using the New Age Outlaws here and there at house shows and stuff like that, and they're getting over. It's apparently most of the hatchets have been buried. Hopefully they're buried deep enough. Yeah, I could see it happening. Kind of, sort of on the heels of Shawn Michaels' induction. Definitely before Triple H happens, you know that.
Yes. Lindsay.
I can buy it, but I don't want to. Just because this is going to sound really wrong, but for everything that the New Age Outlaws did, I don't think they deserve it. I mean, they were a fantastic tag team. They were great. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. It's just when I think of people who should be in the Hall of Fame or deserve to go in the Hall of Fame, there are a lot of names that should go in front of New Age Outlaws. And seriously, should go in front of the New Age Outlaws. And the fact that it's probably going to be one of those, oh, we have them both under the WWE roof, quick, let's throw them in as filler, also just seems kind of sort of shitty. I hate it when they do that to people. It's like, oh, you're here now, so we're just going to throw you in. Because we can.
Chris again.
So, yeah, it's just... I can see it. I'll buy it. I don't want to, but, yeah. Not taking anything away from them. I just don't feel they've really earned it.
Omega.
Sell, but sell to a friend of mine who will sell it back to me in a couple years.
Okay, and the one that will get me killed.
Just
go ahead.
I just move right on.
You
I have reasoning.
You stop talking.
He Fairly. Does that. He does that. He pauses. In poetry, it's called a caesura. In real, actual, like, talking, doesn't work. Quit pausing so much.
Give me credit. I'm not Shatnering here.
What's
no.
wrong with the way Shatner talks? Where every word is
all right,
its
all right,
own
all
sentence.
All right, Tim. Stop.
Pauses were way too short in that one.
Well, I was trying to speed it up, all right?
No, yeah, because Rock will talk over you if you stop too long.
So moving right along.
Shut your face.
Aha, you get told. Go ahead, Omega, your turn.
No, New Age
Don't
Outlaws.
Hold back. Go ahead.
No, New Age Outlaws, great tag team, one of the best in the Attitude Era, if not the best. Screw you, Hardys. Hey, I'll give you this. They can still go in the ring to the point where you will see them wrestle on WWE TV again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Then there's Matt Hardy, who, last I heard, was getting X-Pac heat down in ROH.
And was wrestling hardcore matchup with Sabu last night here in Philadelphia.
Did he drop himself on his head again?
No, thankfully he did not.
Okay, how big is his gut now? Because you'd think with Hostess out of business, he might slim down a little bit.
Little Debbie's still going strong.
Yeah, we have cloud cakes in the house now. It's not the same.
Cosmic brownies. Awesome.
Are you finished now, Omega?
I always like the oatmeal pies. Yes!
And the one that will get me killed. Buy or sell, The Undertaker will retire in 2013. Lindsay.
Sell it, but sell it to somebody who will sell it back to me in a couple years. I don't say it's this year, I say it's next year.
Omega.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it next year, not this year.
Tim.
You know, I could buy this. I could see him retiring in 2013. I mean, Christ, guys. Pretty much my age. He doesn't really do anything anymore except for WrestleMania. Hasn't for a couple of years now. Yeah, I could buy it. Him retiring this year.
Okay, that's buy or sell.
By the way, I would just like to say to everybody who said he was done after WrestleMania 28, screw you all.
And there were a lot of them.
I'm good.
Good.
Well, we know Undertaker has one last ride to come because of that speech Triple H gave the other day.
Yes, Tim.
He's got at least one more in him.
Yep.
So let's get back into the things of the year, Tim.
Get the superstar of the year?
No, we have a couple others. Go back
Kind of skipped ahead so we could space them out.
Oh, I got to backtrack here. Best moment of the year, Lindsay.
You know, I would have gone with Taker and Triple H and Shawn all standing on the stage, but there's one that was just a little bit better. And not that you can top those three. And I would have to say it's when Brock Lesnar came back and knocked the fuck out of Cena in the mouth and made him bleed on Raw. because that moment had such an impact to it where all of us got woken up for a few seconds and we went, wait, what, holy fuck, what just happened? Cena's bleeding, legit bleeding on Monday Night Raw. When was the last time we had seen blood on Monday Night Raw to that extent?
Mm-hmm.
That moment right there sold that match at Extreme Rules. You didn't have to do anything else with it. Just to have Brock Lesnar and John Cena get in a verbal confrontation and Lesnar legit knocks the crap out of Cena to where he bleeds and his mouth is screwed up, sold the entire thing. Hook, line, and sinker, sold it. And then the match that followed met up with the hype that one moment created, and it was perfect. So I have to go with where Brock Lesnar came back and knocked Cena in the mouth. But Taker, Hunter, and Shawn standing on the stage at 28 is a very close second.
Damn. Omega.
You know, I was going to go with... My brain is right where Lindsay's is. I was going to go with that moment from Taker and Triple H and Shawn, but yeah, it was the return. Yeah, it was the return of Lesnar. I can't really deny it. It was one of those I never thought it would ever happen type things. I thought he burned those bridges and blew up the cliffs that the bridge stood on, but it's the WWE. It's one of the few times when you can still say anything can happen, and there it was.
Okay, Rock.
The night Chris Jericho slipped trying to break a bottle over CM Punk's head.
There's a bottle broke in his hand.
Slips on the beer and the bottle breaks in his hand. No.
He basically just threw booze at Punk.
Pretty much. No, that's you know, one thing you never think you'll see happen. No, mine's the hug.
And his very, very, very tight pants.
Very, very tight pants. No, mine's the moment with Taker, Shawn, and Triple H at WrestleMania. That's the moment that I still remember from the entire year. We can also go with the other hug between Kane and Daniel Bryan, but Trips, Shawn, and Taker is mine. We had some thrown out for AJ heel turn. The Shield debuts.
Say the Diner's a good runner-up.
Diner's a good runner-up. Kane threw out the Daniel Bryan video with the little kid.
Aww. Mae Young saying, I'll have what he's having in the diner.
That whole diner scene.
Yeah.
Kane coming out role-playing as the waiter.
Yes. Where it was Jay Reed, not Gerald, Jay Reed. Still said it should have been Glenn, but what can you do?
All right. The one Will threw out, which is a really good one, if you remember it, the night after WrestleMania and the crowd.
Chanting for Brian
the entire night. How loud that crowd was. And that's a pretty good one. Because that's all they wanted to see throughout the night was Daniel Bryan. And I think, if I remember correctly, they only got him in the backstage bit.
I gotta go with Brock Lesnar with a caveat. It didn't mean as much to me because, you know, with all the behind the scenes and shit like that, you knew behind the scenes, you knew what was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen, and then you knew what was going to happen. And it, knowing that it was going to happen, dulled it. But if I'm looking at it objectively, and just as a casual fan didn't know it was going to happen, it's a definite markup moment. It is a pop. And, you know, WrestleMania, that was your basic replay from the year before. However, it was a better, you know, it's not your standard sequel. It was better than the first time round. Yeah. But it wasn't, again, it wasn't, you know, original and shit like that. So I'm going with Lesnar.
I think the great thing about Lesnar is, at least for all of us here, we all knew it was going to happen. We all knew he was going to be there. We all knew they were going to do something with him. What we didn't know was what happened when he hit Cena. We all thought it was going to be that standard, oh, Brock Lesnar's going to come back. No, it wasn't. It was the standard Lesnar comes back, but they did it in a way that it worked, and it got everybody's attention, and it got everybody's attention in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Where they actually took that MMA background, and oh my God, they used it.
Shock. Awe. Surprise.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah, breakout star of the year, kids. Rock.
Just waiting for you to actually throw someone out there.
I was doing a pregnant pause. It's called a Cesaro.
Wait.
We're going to rename it. It's called the Omega.
If you're going to, you know, say
oh,
that.
Oh, shut up.
You know what? Just for that one.
I've now been educated by a Canadian Jew.
You got away with the first time. The second time, you know, you deserve that one, Tim.
Fine. Finish your show yourself. I'm going home.
You're going to steer this car around?
I'm turning this show around. I'm going home.
Well, fine. Can we stop at the Burger King on our way? I'm hungry.
No!
I want a Happy Meal.
No!
I get the toy.
Anyway. Part of no, do you idiots not understand?
This is a tough one. But at the end of the day, I gotta go with AJ. I don't know. As we mentioned earlier, she's developed, from being, you know, the second to Daniel Bryan to being an actual character at this point. Yeah, I'm going with AJ.
Lindsay.
I will actually go with Bryan. Just because he went from losing the title at WrestleMania in 17 seconds to being one of the most over individuals in the WWE right now. And if you look at it, he went from being pretty much an afterthought to a main event player in a year. Which, and kind of going back to an afterthought now, but he got super red hot. The storyline that he did with AJ and Punk definitely helped. And now the stuff he's doing with Kane is just making him that much further. So I gotta go with Bryan.
Wow. Okay. Omega.
Jeez. I was really torn. I'm really torn here. It's either... God, I can't pick. I was going to go with Ziggler just because of how hot the crowd has gotten for him this year.
But that's happened lately.
That's why it's a breakout. Still, you know, okay. Well, I would say it was Ziggler if he had actually gotten to cash in by now. But since he has not, I can't deny it. It's got to be AJ. And yes, she went from being an accessory to a storyline to being one of the biggest attractions on Raw. You know, that element of unpredictability that even after a year, we're still seeing different facets of it, which is really hard to do to maintain a character like that. And they've done a brilliant job of it. And the crowd has eaten it up. Like, they couldn't even get her. They couldn't get the crowd to hate her even after she went full blown heel. Just because she's that freaking over, and you really haven't been able to say that about a diva since the Attitude Era.
This is very true. Maester out Dolph Ziggler from Breakout Star of the Year. And his best moment, because I forgot to read it, was any backstage segment involving the Anger Buddies.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going with Ziggler, because he's still in the middle of the breakup, but that counts.
Okay.
Really. you know. So Dolph Ziggler is my choice.
Okay. What's next? What's next?
Superstar of the Year. Omega.
Another hard one. No, actually no. You could cop out and say AJ again, but in lieu of that, I will go with the other obvious answer and say CM Punk.
Okay,
CM Punk. He's played the top face, he's played the top heel, and he's been stellar in both roles.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take anything away from him.
There you go, Lindsay.
Yeah, I gotta go with Punk. I mean, mm-hmm. he's been the cornerstone of that company this year, and the fact that he's had to play second fiddle to Cena and still is as awesome as he is just astounding. And plus, he has Paul Heyman. So, yeah, I gotta go with Punk.
Yeah, I gotta agree with both of you. He's over both ways. And you know you're doing something right when you're over both ways. Rock, pick somebody.
Before I pick anyone, Jed goes Daniel Bryan, Tommy goes CM Punk, Jersey Girl goes Punk, King Kins goes Austin Aries, Spud goes Bully Ray. And I should...
The day when Spug's picking a TNA wrestler.
I know, right? How's that happening? And Mace picked CM Punk as well. I gotta agree, CM Punk. He's, what, 400-something days into this at this point? You know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which means he went all year as the champion.
Mm-hmm.
Over a year, man.
So before we get to match of the year, Tim, let's do a really quick great debate.
Okay.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
By the way, we have a brand new... Megan loves it when it's just not him. We have a new great debate coming next week. It's the greatest hardcore wrestler, hardcore champion of all time. It's the brand new great debate that we decided on last night. Alright, but this week's great debate, the quick one, the biggest disappointment of the year, your nominees are the Ziggler push, or lack thereof, Aces and Eights, Claire Lynch, or the resolution of the anonymous general manager. Lindsay.
Taker's hair.
That's not one of the choices.
Damn it.
That's why I limited it. We all know you would pick the hair.
Since... I'm going to have to go with the resolution of the anonymous GM just because they could have done something really amazing with that. And the fact that they took probably a year's worth of storyline and just threw it away on, no offense, Hornswoggle, was absolute crap. I mean, as much as we all couldn't stand Michael Cole as a heel, you could have easily said it was Michael Cole and gone in a completely new direction for him and done more with him than just having it be Hornswoggle and literally throwing it away. So yeah, I gotta go with the anonymous GM.
Omega.
Part of me really does want to go with the anonymous GM. Really wants to go with that. Because there are so many missed opportunities with that. I mean, if you'd come out and said it was Mick Foley as the GM, and you come out and say, yeah, I had this other job down south, so I couldn't be here, but, you know, it was him running the show. I mean, just a little nod to what was going on. It would have been fun. But no, they played it for laughs. Sucked. But bad as that was, you know, and why isn't Zack Ryder on this list, by the way, Rock?
Because no one nominated him.
They're all fools. No, of the options there, I will go with Claire Lynch. Because it's bad enough when your storyline is, AJ might be, we think AJ Styles is sleeping with the boss. And, you know, Dixie Carter isn't exactly Vince McMahon. I have no desire to listen to her talk on my television. And as soon as you think that's as bad as it can get, then you go, no, AJ. He wasn't sleeping with Dixie. AJ fucked a crackhead.
And doesn't remember.
Yeah.
By the way, Spug and Omega have both picked a TNA storyline at some point in this show. The world isn't...
Yes, but he picked a favorable one, whereas I picked the misery-inducing shit they spewed out.
Tim.
I gotta say the anonymous GM storyline. Just really, you know, they could have done so much with it. They dragged it on for so goddamn long. Everybody was into it. They got sick of it. They were like, oh, my God. They got back into it again. It's Hornswoggle. Piss off. Okay, click. Change the channel.
Okay, that's the great debate, then.
Yeah.
Now we have Match of the Year.
Match of the Year? No way!
Yeah. What do you think?
Taker Triple H 2. Bit of a no-brainer for me.
I guess I'm throwing people out there. Omega.
Yeah, this is the hard part. It's the obvious answer, but you know what? It's the right answer. It's Taker Triple H 2. When all of us thought, you know, after the first match, they couldn't recapture it. You know, it's just going to be a rehash. You know, Taker barely made it through the last match. And how the hell are they going to top it now? Well, you put Shawn in there as the special referee. And you think it's just pointless pandering to the audience. But he added such a dimension to that match. I mean, it really was just this perfect way of topping the previous one. Like, maybe not on a wrestling level, but on an entertainment level, surely.
Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree across the board. Taker Triple H, there were some fantastic matches this year. Brock Cena is a close second, but Taker Triple H 2... is the only match from this year that I have gone back and watched multiple times. And it's the only match that I think that you can really go back and you watch it and you see something different every time you watch it. Little pieces that they put into that match that it doesn't come across. And just the storytelling, the fact that you had multiple stories going on at one time in one match, just... was amazing, and the way that they put it together was beautifully done. And you don't see matches done like that anymore. You really don't. So, I have to give it to them. There's nobody else. I'm sorry. You can't compare.
Okay, Rock, pick.
Yeah, Taker, Hunter, easy. But, I'll throw other names out there, which were, you know, runners up. They threw out Aries Rude from Destination X, which was pretty good. Storm and Rude at Bound for Glory. That's up there. Yes, I threw out TNA matches. Daniels and AJ had a good match. Had a couple good matches this year. But hands down, it's Taker and Triple H. They gave him so much time, and they told the best story possible. Hands down.
And there you go. Hey, why don't we get into quick hits?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
So, where should we begin? Who should we begin with? Let's begin with Tim. What will be the biggest disappointment in 2013?
Not doing anything with Zack Ryder yet again until he leaves.
That would be your biggest disappointment?
It's the only thing I can think of.
Okay. Lindsay, who is someone under the radar that will win a world championship in either company in 2013?
Oh, crap.
As you think about this, last year I asked Tim this question. His answer was Dolph Ziggler. Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but it fucking should have.
It should have, but that doesn't count.
I know. It's not a horseshoes or hand grenades.
Oh, why not? Bully Ray.
That's a good one. Omega. What is one thing you think WWE will change in 2013? Now, before you answer this, 2 years ago, you answered get away from PG. Last year, that WWE would change John Cena. What do you say this year?
To make sure my streak stays alive, I have to leave television forever. I'm going to say the end of the 3 hours. I honestly don't think they'll maintain it.
I'm with you on that one. Tim, what will be the most shocking moment of 2013? Now, before you answer this question, we asked this question. I did some research. We asked this question to Spug.
Research. You listened to last year's episode.
It's called research.
That's research.
Research. I do something, you know, during the loss of the Eagles loss today. 42-7, fuck you, Giants. Last year, Spug said Kelly will finally learn how to take off a bra. So, Tim.
She learned to take off.
It's close enough.
What was the question again?
Shocking moment of the year in 2013.
It's just like I zoned out, so. I have got no clue. Oh my god. I can't even think.
You're drawing a blank.
I am. I am so just wiped out after last night, it's not even funny. What's the most shocking moment?
Chat room goes, Bully Ray gets Brooke Hogan pregnant. Bully.
Oh, God!
Brooke Hogan wrestles. Raw rating dips below 2.
Raw rating is headed that way. It's not going to be a shock when it happens. Fuck. I know, something involving CM Punk, Paul Heyman, and that's all I can think of.
Okay. Lindsay, what is one thing you hope TNA will change in 2013?
Give James Storm the goddamn belt.
You mean keep up with his push?
No, they don't have to keep up with the push. Just give him the goddamn belt.
Well, that would keep up with the push. You know, they push him towards it and stop.
No, just give it to him. Now.
Just give it to him, like, tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. Now.
Now.
Just take it off of Hardy, give it to Storm, and I will be happy.
Oh my god, Kim Kardashian is pregnant, and no one cares.
Ew.
Omega, who is the one superstar that will stand out above all the rest in 2013?
Well, gee, at this point, since they didn't pull the trigger on him this year, it's going to have to be Ziggler. We already know how good he is when he's still stuck in the mid card. When he cashes that thing in, when he's the world champion, you're going to see him soar.
Okay.
Should I just like clap or something when I'm done, or?
No, I was trying to figure out how to approach this.
The Omega has spoken.
The Omega has spoken. We need a chime or something. That's where you need the gong.
No, the gong is when Tim tells a joke.
Oh, right. Yeah. Then you need the whistle for when you're done. This question was sent into Smug, and it's going to be a general question, but I'm kind of changing it. The original question is, who is most expensive for running a network? Omega or Lindsay? I'm going to go general, and this is to everyone. Who is the most expensive whore on the network? Answer up.
The most expensive whore?
On the network.
I have to say Omega, because he hardly ever whores anything out except for his own shit, and only when we push him.
Hey!
Omega, she just puts it out any old time.
I'm not sure if I should take that as a compliment or not.
That's the type of whoring you were talking about, right? Right,
yeah,
Omega?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
You keep calling everyone Omega.
Everybody's Omega tonight. Yep, because this is the end.
And we have a vote for Alan. No, he's the cheapest one. Either one of you have a suggestion?
They're all offended now.
Wait. No, I'm trying to think, and no, I have nothing.
See, while the rest of us are happy just talking about pro wrestling, Mr. Stein needs an entire promotion to satisfy himself.
And what's wrong with that? You see, there's the thing, all right? Here it is. Everybody else gets onto these little internet radio broadcasts where we get like 15 or 20 listeners, and they all bitch and complain about shit that's going on with wrestling like they know what they're talking about. I took it a step further, and I created a wrestling promotion.
Good job, Tim. Good
Thank
job.
You. Pat me on the fucking back.
No. Not a chance. But that would be the show, then.
So there. Are we done? Can we go home now?
Wrap up the show, Tim. Promote stuff.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody, for, like, tuning in to the last show of the year that nobody was really into because we're all just farting around. There's nothing to talk about, really, because, you know, it's like Christmas break and crap like that. But we hope that you come back in 2013. Rock, you're not doing Raw Post Show tomorrow.
No.
And Tuesday night, you won't hear Alan.
Yeah, you will.
Damn, I was hoping. Anyway, yeah, okay, so there it is. Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, where Alan Wojcik just absolutely inundates you with Florida indie wrestling.
Yes, he does, and we'll be speaking this week, hopefully, to the one and the only Chris Masters.
There you go, yeah. And Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show with the Cheap Wooden paneling. Isn't that right, Jed?
He's not on the air, dude.
Huh?
He's not here, Tim.
No, he's in the chat room, jackasses. Pay attention. Oh, my God. Yeah, so see, there he said, yes, it is. So Jed will be joined with Scott Barry and all the other freaking clowns. Check them out. They can be entertaining sometimes. Once in a blue moon, you'll even get a guffaw. That was mean. Well, Thursday night, Lindsay's Rack.
What time is the show on Wednesdays?
Shit, 8:30 Eastern.
Good job, Tim.
Lindsay's Rack, 11 o'clock Eastern, Thursday night. Hey, they'll talk TNA shit and crap that went on Impact, and then more WWE shit.
It's not really shit, but tune in and listen.
Great discussions that go about 2.5 hours. We have great discussions on that show. Check it out.
There you go. And last week he did, but this week will he? Again, the jury's out, and we're left to wonder right up until 9 o'clock Eastern when Johnny Casimir finally shows up to do another episode of The Wake Up Call.
Yeah, it actually went on Friday. How about that one? Yeah. And Tim produced it. Holy crap almighty.
Yeah. And Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get it, CB Radio doing wacky, weird shit.
Weird, wacky, unusual. You never know what we'll talk about. It's the first CB Radio of 2013, so you never know what we'll do. But check out the 3-plus-hour edition we did last night. So check it out. It's all in the archive.
There you go. And, of course, next Sunday night, supposedly, another edition of WTR Sunday Night Let's Talk Radio right here on the Let's Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope you all had a great 2012. I hope everybody had a fantastic Christmas. I hope that you all have an absolutely awesome New Year's. Happy New Year's, everybody. Enjoy the party tomorrow. Just remember, if and when you imbibe, do not be in control of motor vehicles. Please be smart. Don't be stupid. Don't be brave. Don't be strong. Don't be an idiot. Don't drive intoxicated. I'm not telling you don't get drunk. Just let the cab do the, the taxi or the bus do all of the heavy lifting for you. Because we want to see you next, we want to see you next year.
Yeah. This public service announcement brought to you by CanadianAllPro.com.
Yes, check out www.CanadianLPro.com, the home of the best independent wrestling on the entire planet. And it's mine. All right, bugger off. Go to bed. Get ready for whoever comes on New Year's Eve.
Character that comes on New Year's Eve.
Unless the Rio runs them over.
Yeah, no, a lot of people come on New Year's Eve. And they regret it New Year's Day.
Think a whole year before those jokes again.
Yep. Hey, I took that. Radio.com.
Clear.